Well, we thank God today for salvation. I hope you're saved. I'm glad I am. I hope every one of us knows the joy of the Lord and the peace of God and the blessings of salvation. God wants us to have the richness of His counsel. He wants us to have the firmness of His foundation. He wants us to have everything that pertains to life and to godliness. He wants us to have a divine nature. He wants us to be free from sin. Did you know what God wants this morning? God wants us to be happy. He absolutely wants us to be happy. You know, we want good things for our children. We don't want sadness in their life. We want happiness in their life. We want their life to be ordered in such a way that they won't have to look back someday and have it full of regrets. We want to see them have a good education, good marriage, good home, faithful children. We want to see them have the degree of financial success they need. We want our children blessed, don't we? If we know how to give good gifts and do good things for our children, how much more does our God in heaven is concerned about us and has a real desire for you and for me to be fulfilled and to be happy? My message is not so much on happiness this morning, but yet it is. And it is serves as a introduction to the thoughts. You know, people have pursued this thing called happiness to the nth degree. People have invented and come up with and imagined, and they've just come up with all kinds of things to hopefully make them happy, to fulfill them. And there's nothing wrong with some of those things. We enjoy things that make us happy. We enjoy fellowship. We enjoy communication. We enjoy health. And we're happy for those things. But I was thinking, as you think about happiness, the extent people have gone to find it. One songwriter said he was there all along, waiting patiently in line, just waiting for us to find him, waiting for us to find the source of happiness. People put happiness or the expectations of happiness on material objects. If I get this, then I'll be happy. It'll meet my needs. Well, it'll meet them for a little while. Sure it will. And it'll bring a degree of happiness. But I think every man and woman among us today realizes that those things have their period of time. They have their age. They have their extent of duration. And then we begin to focus on something else. You take the fashion world. And my message is not on the fashion world, but it's a good example of how people change and how what is proper and what's makes us happy or makes us feel good about ourselves, how those things just are constantly changing. It's for economic reasons. Well, that's the world we live in. And to some degree, we're a part of that. Happiness. Happiness is something that you want. Happiness is sometimes elusive. But I am glad there's a source of happiness. I believe this morning that happiness is not a result of the outside influences. I really don't believe it is. I think to some degree we as people, mankind in general, has got it a little confused into thinking that happiness is a condition that surrounds me, and if I surround myself with happy things and happy thoughts, then I'm happy. And then when things are a little less than what I wanted, or much less than I wanted, when my health is not as good as I expected it to be, then I suffer the consequences of that. I believe happiness is a condition of the heart. I believe lasting happiness is something God wants to give us, not in the sense of what's happening in this world, but what's happening in our heart and happening in our relationship with Him. This morning, I hope you're happy. And I hope your happiness is not based on the winds and the tides of life. I hope it's not based on how you feel and whether you have a headache or you don't have a headache. I hope it's not based on whether your job is working out or it's not. Whether you have the things in this world that men count and count as necessary or whether you don't. I hope today every one of us have a happiness that radiates out of our heart because of Him who is dwelling in our heart. That's the source of real happiness. When you read the Bible, you'll find that God is interested in us. And if you ever thought about it, He said, "All my thoughts to you are thoughts of peace." The Lord God is extremely interested in you. How often we forget the cross when we get our cross. How often we forget God is interested in us. I speak as a man now. How often we forget how interested God is in us when things are not necessarily going the way we want them to go and we don't feel happy. We need to always keep a vision of God's interest in us by keeping a vision of the cross of Calvary before us. He is intently interested in mine and your welfare, regardless of what the devil says. And sometimes we place the interest God has on us or the care God has on us by human standards, by feelings, by what's happening right now in my life. And I don't say that that's not, I'm not saying that's altogether wrong, but it's not the fullness of it. We need to understand what God and how He cares for us based on the Word of God, based on the Spirit of God, based on the plan of salvation, based on the cost of salvation, based on the promises of God, based on this is a transitory life at the best, a few short years, and then we go to a great reward in heaven. Base God's care on us of all the fullness of God and not just a momentary, seemingly like a setback or a little blimp on the scope of life. Lord, help us today. Happiness. I find happiness sometimes can be elusive for us humans. I want to read a scripture this morning now in Matthew 5 and 8. And just look a little bit at what God said about it. The word blessed, it means to be happy, to be satisfied, to be encouraged. The word blessed means to have the approval of someone greater than you or me on our life. The word blessed means to me, and probably by the dictionary also, means for someone to bestow on us something that maybe we didn't deserve. Maybe it's something that we did not have or able to produce in ourselves, and we were blessed with that by the benevolence and the generosity and the goodness of someone who had it within their power to give it to us. To me, that's part of what a blessing is. The Lord has things to give us, dear ones, that we can't give ourselves, that we can't manufacture, that we cannot produce. But He has that and He wants to give us to us. In Matthew 5 and 8, Matthew 5 and 8, blessed, happy, the recipients of a great gift are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed or happy are the pure in heart. I want us to talk a little this morning about heart purity and how happy that makes us. Do you remember guilt? Do you remember condemnation? Do you remember what it felt like and what it is like to know you're not forgiven and there's transgressions in your life? Some of us can recount many of those times. Do you remember what it was like to be forgiven? Do you remember what it was like that day that the Lord rolled your sins into the past, never to be remembered against you anymore? Happiness, something that you could not bestow upon yourself. A blessing from a benefactor so great and so holy that He gave His only begotten Son for you. A price you could not afford, a price you could not attain to, a cost that went far beyond our expectations, our worthiness, all those things. We were blessed by the mighty God with a pure heart, made happy with a pure heart. When we think about the quality of a pure heart, we find it very elusive too for mankind. The heart is not exactly the seat of righteousness, is it? The heart of man is not always to be trusted, is it? And it's prone to error, and it's prone to selfishness, and it is prone to feelings, it is prone to emotions, it is prone to the temptations of the devil, it is prone to do evil and to do wicked and do wrong. That is the unregenerated heart of man. So therefore, that's not going to be a real good source of happiness, is it? You ever live through when you was a sinful person? Do you ever remember doing those things out of a selfish motive, thinking that you were going to be happy, but really and truly it brought some kind of service in your life that was less than happiness? It brought a little bit of embarrassment, of shame, and you got your way, but there was that tinge of guilt about how you got your way. You remember that? Do you remember getting what you wanted, but do you remember the feelings because of the means you went to get that? Or how what you had to violate to get that? Well, you got what you wanted, but you had to violate the Word of God to get it. But now I'm happy, but why am I not fully happy? Because God's there. And God's convicting you. And you know to get what you got, you had to use deceitful means, or you had to be a disobedient person. You had to go after some form of so-called happiness in a way God's approval wasn't on. It just never quite fulfills, does it? Kind of like Brother Michael talking about last night, drinking from the wrong wells and thinking we're going to find happiness there. You know, it just won't work, will it? But the Lord promised us something. He promised us a state of happiness with a pure heart, a clean heart, a purified heart. These are the works of God, saints. If there's anything we need, it's God. If anything our heart needs, it's God. If there's anything we need as people, as human beings created in God's image, is to have our hearts purified and cleansed from the one fellow that gives it the most trouble, self. You know, we blame so much on the other guy, on the government. We blame it on this, and we blame it on the guy that stopped in the intersection with a dead battery. But that's not the source of our unhappiness. It's when we're dissatisfied with this man. And it's when this man does not know the peace of God that has recklessly flung itself out on the gracious dealings of God. And we have a war within us based on our own ways. We need that purification. We need that cleansing. We need that corruptible man who was originally created in the image of God, but through disobedience was handed over to the auspices of the devil. And he began to work his work in our life. Blessed are the pure in heart. This word pure also signifies in the Greek, the Bible speaks this way, that he will purge every vine, every branch rather, that bringeth forth fruit, he purges it, that it will bring forth more fruit. Well, this word in the Greek signifies that. As a vine or a branch being cleansed by purging. You know, one of the greatest things they can do is to get a heart purged and cleansed. It is a satisfying thing. Sometimes we fear it because we have to release ourselves. That's not always easy, is it? Sometimes it causes you and me to say, Lord, leave the shears off. Leave the pruning off. I just want to be happy. But my child, happiness comes by you allowing me. And it really takes that, folks. It takes God, it takes me and you allowing God. Now, that takes faith. That takes trust. Paul said, I know in whom I have believed. Paul said, the things that have happened to me have happened for the furtherance of the gospel. Are we willing for God's cause to be furthered in us by the pruning off of the pruning of our life and those things that are contrary to sound doctrine, contrary to the will of God, contrary to happiness, contrary to what God has for us. Don't we understand, and I know we do, that we're to be trees of righteousness that God might be glorified with our life. Are we willing today to allow the Lord to purge us, to prune us, in order that He might be glorified? And I want to tell us something, and you know this, if you've ever experienced it before. When God is glorified with your life, that brings a joy unspeakable. That brings something that you can never put into words. The songwriters can write about it. The poets can write about it. But it'll fall short of the glory you feel when you've allowed the Lord to take something out of your life that was causing you little trouble and causing His glory not to be shown forth. Now, I don't speak as one who is fully attained. I'm well aware the pruning shears are still out on me. But I welcome them. I say that with a great seriousness. I welcome them. Probably the pruning shears, saints, are going to be the means of us making heaven. If we don't have the pruning shears, that old dead vine or that old dead branch or that disease that has crept in on that thing, that thinking process that we've allowed to come into our life, will probably go into sin. Worry and fretting, they don't have their roots in Christ. They have their roots in sin. To worry and to fret, to be caught up in that is not necessarily sin. I'm not saying that. But its roots are there. And consequently, if it's left, it'll fester. It will cause something called death to take place. Our means, and I really believe that this morning, our means as Christians of making heaven, oh yes, it's the blood. Oh yes, it's the things of the grace of God. I don't want to in any way take away from that. But it's you and me allowing the pruning process to go on, to be carried out in our life. To be pure means to be free from corruption. The Lord Himself tempts no man with sin. The Lord Himself did not make you and me corruptible. But there was one who did. And when He gained entrance into my heart and into your heart, into our decision-making processes, the corruption process started. And when we have yielded ourselves to sin, to death, to the devil, we have to come to a place not only of being forgiven, but to have that power and that authority purged out of our life. Because it will only beget of itself. The devil and self will never beget righteousness, never beget offsprings that are pure and holy, but it'll always beget of its own self. It's free. This word pure means to be free from the admixture of what is false. Every one of us needs our thinking from time to time. Maybe I shouldn't assume on you. Most every one of us from time to time needs our thinking corrected. Have you ever noticed that's not an easy process? Most of us believe what we believe and we have a little bit of fervency about that. And we have an idea of how something ought to be done. And we struggle with other ideas to the contrary. Have you ever noticed that? And that's not to say that idea is wrong. It's just that we struggle with an idea that's not ours and we don't understand. There's a lot of admixtures that can come into a man and a woman's life. Some of it comes by the propensity of just the way we were made, you might say. The way we were fashioned. Some of it comes because of the way we were taught and the way we were trained. It's environmental. Some of it happens because of trauma or selfishness itself. But there's all kind of admixtures that come in and infiltrate along our life. And we have to be willing to truly be happy to be purged of that. Now that's, again, flinging ourselves out. That's saying, not my will, but thine be done. Lord, help us today as the people of God, part of the people of God, that we would be willing to submit our thinking process to God. You know, how it ought to be done. What's the best way? What's necessary here? We struggle a lot, I believe, as mankind with these things. My way of doing it and the contradictions that it faces in life. And it causes you and me anxiety. And it takes away from our happiness. Blessed are the pure, the heart that has been cleansed, the heart that has not only just been in right standing with God, but the heart that has had the pruning of God continually applied to it, taking away the dross, taking away the habits, taking away the false admixtures, taking away those things that cause you and me to be troubled, to cause you and me to think contrary-wise, and it robs us of this thing called happiness. Then when we're not happy, here's a danger. We start looking around for happiness. Really, you know where we ought to search for happiness? Is at the altar. If you're not happy today, don't go anywhere else. Go to God. Jesus Christ. The Word of God. But what happens to us, we get dissatisfied about anything. We get disappointed about anything. And the gears start turning up here, don't they? And we start trying to assign blame some way. Because it can't be my fault. I really could not be the reason for this unhappy thought or this unhappy event. I could not have anything to do with it. It's all out. So we start looking around. Well, I'm saved, but I'm unhappy. I'm full of the Holy Ghost, but I'm unhappy. And we fail to look to where probably the situation is festering. And that's in our heart. We have allowed that admixture to infiltrate. We've allowed it to touch our emotions. And folks, we got emotions. And we have passions. And passions of themselves are not wrong, but passions left unbridled are dangerous. They're deadly. And when we allow other things than God to touch those passions, that's called lust. And lust is not just sensual. Lust is anything we reach out after that's inordinate out of the will of God. Anything that is left to itself will bring us death. So what happens to us is our passions get touched by other things. May the Lord help us this morning to have a pure heart. That takes constant diligence. Folks, that's an effort. The heart is deceitfully wicked. It just really is. And it's not a very good place to be left unattended. Evil thoughts and evil ideas and just dangerous things. They don't always have to be terribly evil. They just can become dangerous things. Unadvised things. Unwise things. Things that have a tag of regret hanging off of them somewhere. We need a pure heart that's been cleansed with the washing of the Word of God, the fullness of the Holy Ghost. To be pure in heart, which is related to being satisfied, happy, blessed, is to be blameless. What an aspiration, folks, to want to be blameless this morning. You know, I challenge myself here. God help me to live before my fellow man and my wife where I can look at her or you and be blameless. To think, what is it? What did Paul say? He had lived in good conscience toward all men. How about this for an aspiration for your life? To live and have this desire to live where you can look every man in the eye, every woman in the eye, and say, I am blameless before you. What a challenge. Not only my hands are clean of your blood, but my mind is innocent concerning you. And my thoughts are of charity and of mercy. Are you challenged by that thought? I am. And I just said it, but God gave it to me. I'm challenged that, Lord, help me to be so pure in heart that my motives and my thoughts toward you are pure. That those things that I say and do, and each one of us take this thought, those things that I say and do are made only to bless and not to hinder. Think about that. That is a challenge, is it not? We see someone doing something that is absolutely wrong. Lord, give us a pure heart toward them. We see someone going in harm's way that we have warned them not to do that. Give us a pure heart toward them. The one that did us so wrong and they ought to have known better, give us a pure heart. You know what? If we don't have a pure heart toward those of our fellow man, we'll not be happy in all the fullness of God. Because that we feel, that unbalanced feeling we have toward our fellow man will impair. It is an admixture that comes in and takes away from our happiness. God wants to prune it out. God wants His shears applied to my emotions and my feelings toward my fellow man. We can become disgusted with other people. God prune that out. There's a difference in not approving and holding someone in contempt. I want to be blameless before you. I have considered that as I'm saying that this right now. And I see and I feel the prunes, the pruning shears. Not that I have any malice. I have none toward any man. I want more of a pure heart before my fellow man. We are able to help someone then better. We're able to get our false ideas and how we think it ought to be out of the way. Then we can minister to one another by the Word of God as our guide. But if I've got presumptions on you, prejudices toward you, I've got to overcome them before I can effectively minister to anyone. A pure heart. The value of it goes beyond this poor man's ability to think about it. To be pure is to be innocent. The only creature that of humanity that I know that enjoys innocency in the state of never even knowing sin is that little baby you hold in your arms. Regrettably, innocency is lost by every one of us. But did you know God, and because of that, we're unhappy. When we're not innocent, obviously we're guilty. And when we're guilty, we're not happy. And when we're not happy, we start looking around for a source of happiness. And when we're not happy, we start blaming. And we forget to be introspective. God wants to make us innocent. And He can do that. The brother that just got saved, we've spoken his name a couple of times here. He's innocent before God. Did you know we can be innocent before God and guilty before man? But the good news is we're going to answer to God. Innocent before the Lord is where we must be. You know, you and I have a track record. And when we're saved, we've got to allow time for others to see a difference in our track record. But God sees it immediately. And God knows it right then. So our happiness is not based on whether we're totally accepted by all or not. Yes, we want that. But our happiness is that we have been blessed and accepted and been made innocent before God. Thank God for that. Over in Ezekiel, the Lord gave a wonderful promise to those who have been born from above. Ezekiel, the 36th chapter and the 24th verse. May I say this before I read this? We're kind of in a less than a pure world. Paul said we've all had our conversations there. So you know, really and truly, none of us that are saved today can say, I'm better than you. Can't do that, can we? We've all had our conversations out there. And I can promise us this morning, we all got things about ourselves we know that we don't tell. because we're embarrassed and ashamed of them. But the writer prophesied of a day to come, and he said this in Ezekiel 36 and 24. He said, I'll take you from among the heathen. I'll bring you out of that. One place he said he's going to translate us out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of God's dear Son. He said, I'll gather you out of all the country. You know, people have really populated the earth. And we've got this country and that country and this race and this nationality and etc. You know, people in life, in their thinking, have populated a lot of strange countries too. And you know, based on my opinion, there's a lot of strange thinking. But that really doesn't matter so much. It's what God thinks. But you know, the Lord is willing to bring us out of all the countries we've been scattered in. Where have you been scattered today? Taking a little thought of Brother Michael's message. What well have you been drinking from? Where are you coming from today? Where is your thinking? Where is your heart coming from? And we'll bring you into your own land. God's got a place for us, saints. Land of Beulah. Land of marriage. Land of peace. Land that has milk and honey. And you know, the devil wants to take that milk and honey and that marriage away from us. The Lord, the devil would like to see us divorced. The Lord, the devil would like to see us estranged from our husband. But good news is, the Lord wants to bring us into our country. A country that He gave us. A land that He wants us to have. And do you, I thought of this not long ago. Do you remember the accounting in Hebrews? And what the writer said was absolutely the only reason the children of Israel did not enter into the land of Canaan originally. Do you remember what the absolute one reason was? Unbelief. That was absolute. It wasn't their actions in the sense of not liking each other, not getting along all the time. They failed to believe God. He said, let you and me be careful lest we fall from this same example of unbelief. Did you know God's got happiness for us? God's got a pure heart for us. God's got a cleansing and a pruning and a purging for us. God has got something He wants to give us. Take us out of the old land of the heathen. Take us out of the land of unbelief. Take us into the countries that we've been scattered into. But there's only one thing that's really going to keep us out of that if we don't believe it. We got to believe God. Let God be true. Let all these other influences, all these admixtures, He said, let God be, let every man be a liar, but let God be true. Folks, these admixtures that come along, they have got to be false. Then I will sprinkle clean water upon you, and ye shall be clean. From all your filthiness and from all your idols will I cleanse you. Idols are a word that's used many times in messages. But do you know the Lord has a washing and a regeneration that those idols can lose their power? They lose their lust. They lose their glow. They lose their infatuation. And the idols that you and me of our own opinion, our own thinking, our own heart, our own desires, what we think, how we believe, that all can be broken down. Those things that rob us of joy and true happiness and security in God, that can all be washed away by the blood, the sprinkling of God and Jesus Christ. And He wants to do that for us today. A new heart, He said, I'll give you. And a new spirit, well, I'll put it within you. And I'll take away that adamant stone of a heart. That old heart that's set in its ways. And the pruning of God's shears touches it and sparks fly. You ever seen that happen? God wants to come down and touch your life and sparks fly. You hold on to it. The shears touch it and it's like flint and it just doesn't work. God wants a heart that He can touch. Heart that He can work with. God wants a heart in me and you that He can clean. And He said, to me, He's saying this, you can't do it in yourself, but I'll give you one. We can't manufacture this thing. We can't turn over and say, well, today is, what is it, Saturday. And from Saturday on, I'm going to be a new person. Wow, what a deal. We can go to all the counseling sessions we want. We can get all the literature we want on self-help. Not it, folks. It's been allowing the Lord to come in and cleanse our heart. Happiness is totally connected to a pure heart. Joy is connected to a pure heart. You can't have the fullness of joy with an unclean heart. You can't have the fullness of heart with admixtures influencing your heart. Purity is to be cleansed. Now, granted, it is an ongoing process in of the purging, of the pruning. But there's a place where you and I can be purged and consecrated and given to God for His direction and His authority. Until we find that place, we're not going to enjoy the fullness of joy. We're not going to have all the happiness that God has for us. He said, I'll take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh, and I'll put my spirit in you and cause you to walk in my statutes. Thank the Lord. And you shall dwell in the land I gave unto your fathers. You know, God has always had a place for His people, and He's always desired that. First of all, it was Eden. Man blew that. You know, Eden was Eden. It was perfect. Paradise is another word for Eden. It was just a garden. It was perfect. And my, I can only speculate how great it was. Man blew that. Well, you know, the Lord said, I still love them. I still care about them. You know, sometimes we blow it. I'm so glad God's merciful. I'm so glad He loves us. But God doesn't want to leave us in that blown out, old tire, blown out. God wants to bring us to a place, folks. If you're not happy today, God's got a land He's trying to bring us to. God's got a place that He has for you. And He said, I'll bring you to the land I promised to your fathers. Well, the children of Israel. Well, first of all, mankind, they kind of went this way and that way. But there were some that remained true. And there was this fellow named Abraham. And he got a hold of God. And God got a hold of him. And He said, Abraham, leave. I got a place to take you to. And Abraham believed God. And so what did Abraham do? He packed up his bag, got his camels ready, got all the things ready, put them on, said, come on, let's go. Where are we going? I don't know for sure, but God said it's good, and we're going there. Sometimes this believing takes in also faith in what God said for us. But He said, I got a place to take you. He said, we're going there. Well, time went on, people went on. People got all muddled and they complained. And they did first one thing and another. And then famines come along. They wound up down in Egypt. Well, this is it. No, Egypt's not it. God still had a place. So they stayed down there upwards of 400 years. Wound up to be a great nation. But they were slaves. One day the mighty hand of God came by, one night actually. And it broke asunder the prison. It broke asunder the bars. Pharaoh said, go! Praise God. The bars have been broken. The snare has been broken. We can enter. God said, I've got a place I want to take you to. Come on, let's go. They left where they were. They left Goshen and took out. Come up on the Red Sea. You know, you're going to have obstacles to happiness. Sure you will. Life will make sure that it'll try to make you unhappy. So there was this great old big sea, river, body of water. They looked behind them and maybe they went over a couple of hills and sent some scouts back and ran back up there and told Moses, 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 you'll never believe it, but there's Pharaoh back there. He changed his mind. So now we've got this place, the ocean, or the sea, and the army. God said, I still got a place to carry you. Still got a place to take you. Come on. Stand still and see the salvation of thy God. Stretch forth your rod, Moses. You know, God still got a place. Let Him stretch forth His rod in your life. Let Him prune your life. So they went across on dry land. Come on down. They had a land of Canaan. Well, they got there finally after, 40 plus years. And they corrupted that. But God still got a place. He's wanting to take His children. And He said, upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Praise God this morning that He's got a land of happiness, a land of joy, and a land of peace that He wants to bring us to. Will we this morning allow Him? The writer in Matthew 3, 10 and 12, he said, "There's one coming after me." John the Baptist, I believe, said this. "Whose shoes you and I would say I'm not worthy to tie. I'm not worthy to put them on his feet. I'm not even worthy to touch his feet. And his fan is in his hand." This one is coming. And he has the wonderful power to thoroughly purge the threshing room floor. You know where I think that threshing room floor might be, in part anyway? Is the heart of man. He's got the ability, if we allow him entrance, to thoroughly purge our heart. To make us pure from our heart. Make us pure and innocent before him. His fan is in his hand. He'll thoroughly purge the threshing room floor. This morning, I would encourage us to allow the Lord to come into our heart and thoroughly purge us. You'll never know, and I'll never know, the joy and the strength of the happiness of God till we do that. It's an ongoing process many times, in some ways. And sometimes we come up against the Red Sea. Sometimes we come up and look back and see Pharaoh's army. Lord, help us today to want that land, to want that joy so much that we'll allow the Lord to come in and do the work, do the purging, do the pruning. I don't know of anything of value that comes without a cost, really and truly. You say, well, an inheritance doesn't. But do you know, really, an inheritance without a real sacrifice and a seriousness of receiving it is not worth much either. Allow the Lord this morning to come in and purge us. I want to end this little thought this morning in Psalms 24. It's just a little short scripture here, 1 through 6. "The earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof, the world and all they that dwell therein. For he hath founded it upon the seas, and established it upon the floods. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord?" I believe this is speaking somewhat of the tabernacle temple worship. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? Who shall be able to go before the Lord and minister? Or who shall stand in that holy place? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart. We just can't serve God selfishly. We can't serve God with a fearful, admixture-filled heart. He that hath a clean hand will be able to stand in that holy place. He that hath a pure heart shall know what true service to God is. Who hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully. The question was, who? And he gave the answer. And he said of this one of you and me, he shall receive the blessing from the Lord, and righteousness from the God of his salvation. This is the generation of them that seek him, that seek thy face, O Jacob, Selah. This person who allows the process of purging, cleansing, and purification to take place, David wrote, he shall receive the blessing from the Lord. May the Lord help us this day to have a pure heart. And the word, I say this by the word, I promise you something. You'll be happy. Happiness, unhappiness is a result of something touching me. And it's the result of an opinion I may hold. It's a result of comparisons I make. And I say then I'm happy or I'm unhappy. But really happiness is the presence of God. And those who have purged and cleansed, David said, they shall receive the blessing. You pray for me.